while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be in front of you, but at the same time, I'm so nervous. Because who was I? It is such a big thing that I don't feel I can adequately tell who I was or who you were. Most of the time, when people around see you, they only see who you are now, but they never know of where you have come from. So it appears to me that today, the best way for me to have started this was to ask for testimonies, for people to come and tell us about their lives. People see you and do not realize that you were an alcoholic, a drug addict, a gambler, or a promiscuous person. They do not realize that you have been through a bitter marriage, or the loss of a family member, or a loved one that nearly derailed you. They do not realize that at one point in time, you nearly gave up. But it was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that saw you through. And you are what you are now. I had originally planned that I would be asking people to come and give testimonies about their lives. And then I looked and then saw that in the previous chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 9, there was a very good testimony. The man who was born blind, but now can see. So the man who was born blind walked a few paces behind Jesus Christ. He was still getting used to the fact that he has been healed and now can see. He had spent his whole life depending on touch and sound and feeling to guess what was around him. But now he could see all around him. He could see as far as his eyes would take him. He could even see up into the skies. Now, he could hear a bird twitch and know, oh, so that lovely sound came from that little thing. Now, he could see a dog bark and say, wow, it is this that gives that fierce noise. He could see all around him and his life had been changed. He wanted to rejoice. He wanted to shout for joy about what had happened to him. But he could not. Because the religious leaders who had thrown him out of the synagogue were still around. His parents had even been called to confirm that he was born blind. But the religious people did not know what to do to him or what to do about the man who made him see. And worst of all, he was made to see, he was cured on a Sabbath day. So they threw him out of the temple. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, He looked for him, and when he saw him, asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I'll believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believed and worshipped him." And Jesus said, "It is for judgment that I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were standing close by asked, "Are you saying we are blind?" Then Jesus answered them with a riddle. That is the riddle that was just read to us. "Verily, verily, truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. I heard a story some time ago, and I think I've told that story in here before. That two young men had a scholarship to study in New York, and then they went on to Manhattan. And while they were walking the streets of New York, one of the friends said to the other, "Kofi, I can hear a cricket chirping." Then Kofi said to him, "Abu, we are not in the village. This is Manhattan. How can there be a cricket here? Look around you. Do you see grass anywhere? Look, even the grass that are here are well manicured. They are well cared for. They are fed with insecticides. How can there be a cricket around here?" But as they were walking, this guy was convinced there was a cricket, and he kept saying, "Look, I can hear the cricket. I can hear it even louder now." And then he kept walking with his friend and said, "Look, I can hear it. Look, look, look." And then he went into a crevice of one of the tall buildings, and there in the crevice was a cricket chirping. You see, God is always calling us. God is always talking to us, but it is for us to have the ears to listen to what he's saying. The Pharisees did not understand this riddle. They did not understand that Jesus was referring to them. They did not understand that they were blinded to the fact that the person whom they have been waiting for all these years was right in front of them doing these miraculous things. But they did not see it. They could not comprehend it. They didn't understand it. They, the Pharisees, were even more blind than the blind man who now can see. the blind man can now see. And he said to Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the one who came to save the world. So because they didn't understand, Jesus again told them another riddle. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is important to remember that Jesus just didn't start talking about sheep out of the blue. His words about sheep and shepherds were directed towards his close followers and his critics, the religious leaders of the day. Jesus told these riddles about sheep and shepherds and thieves and strangers to explain how giving sight to a man who had not seen anything in his entire life showed a huge difference between true believers and false prophets. To make his point, Jesus drew on one of the most common images in scriptures, one he thought they knew very well. A missionary told of how people in a village that he visited knew each other's sheep by name, as we might know our neighbor's children by name. As he sat with a group of villagers, a person would stop by asking, have you seen so and so, my sheep? Identifying his own sheep by name. And in the night, through the night, this missionary heard people calling out names. So his guide told him, they are calling their sheep. One of the locals explained to him, and that they will find all of them. Sheep by name. There are certain characteristics that I have come to learn about sheep as I was preparing for this, and I would want to share with you. Sheep, first of all, are followers. They will follow another sheep even to the slaughter, or over a hill or cliff. Lambs are conditioned from birth to follow older sheep. Following isn't something sheep have to think about. It is an instinct. However, they can be trained to recognize a distinctive call or a unique melody played on a pipe. A sheep can learn to recognize its own name and come in when it is called by the shepherd. Sheep will follow a shepherd that they know very well. But they will run away from somebody who had treated them harshly. You may have seen on the tube pipers playing pipes for sheep, leading them, and the sheep will follow. Let another piper go and play a different tune to the same group of sheep, and they will not understand what they are saying. Sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. And sheep remember faces. They recognize faces of other sheep and even those of the humans that they work with regularly. She remembers who treats them well, and even remembers more importantly those who handle them harshly. She will allow a gentle shepherd to come close to them, but they will run away from somebody who treats them harshly. Again, sheep find safety in numbers. Since predators attack the outliers, sheep stick closely together when grazing. When grazing, sheep will focus their attention on four or more other sheep around them. They are very social animals, and the instinct to flock is very strong among them. Sheep rarely walk in a straight line. By tracking first to the right and then to the other side, they can always see what is around them, what is behind them. They can spot danger from 1,500 meters away, but they find it difficult to go through a gate without help. Sheep are very surprisingly dirty animals. Lambs may look cute and fluffy on greetings cards, but the reality is that sheep have all sorts of dirt and yuck. And if you look at older sheep, you'll find how the wool on them is clumpy and mixed with dirt. But the good shepherd knows the value of the wool before it comes to shearing. As the people of God, we tend to follow each other more instinctively than we follow our good shepherd. Even when we have been trained to recognize our own name and God's distinctive call to us, we tend to remember old hurts and grudges and run away from potential encounters with those who have hurt us in the past. We tend to stick with the same four or five people that we call as our friends. We rarely go out of that group to look at others and to see how we can help. We spend a lot of time looking behind us, making it hard for us to walk in a straight line, and we can spot a distant threat more easily than we can see an open door. Most of the times, we are thinking of the negative. We are refusing to see the positives that is before us. We attract debt and let it clamp on us and cling on us. But Isaiah tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And yet God claims us to his own. He knows each of us by name and calls us into abundant life, leading us to a safe and greener pasture. This riddle is not so much about sheep. It is about recognizing the shepherd. Jesus has given sight to a man who had never seen before, and yet he recognized him as God's Messiah. While the Pharisees, who should have recognized the one they have been waiting for, were blind to God's power working amongst them. By refusing to accept Jesus as God's own son, the Messiah from whom they claim to hope, the Pharisees threaten God's people, stealing their hope, destroying their trust in God as the Good Shepherd. It is ironic that those who know so much about sheep recognizing the shepherd's voice are the ones who don't understand what Jesus is saying to them. Jesus is not only talking to the Pharisees, he is talking to his disciples and to me and to you. We have such a difficulty in understanding just as the Pharisees did. When it comes to hearing Jesus clearly and following him, we are deaf to his call. Jesus keeps calling us repeatedly, consistently, reminding of us of where he is and where he wants us to go. It is our awareness of that repetitive, constant call that teaches us to recognize and follow our shepherd's voice. We can only become aware of that gentle call by listening to it. It seems so hard to hear, just as it did for those Pharisees who didn't recognize God was working in their midst. Today, there are so many distractions, so many calls unto us, so many false prophets, even now, calling us to follow them. There are so many adverts telling us, if you do this and that, if you get this and that, you will be happy in life. But get a first car, get the next bigger one and better one, and you still want more. It never satisfies. The adverts and the things that they're telling you to get never, ever satisfies. So Jesus was really not understanding why the Pharisees could not understand what he was saying. So he went on again and gave another figure of speech. But this time, he made it clearer so that they could understand. He called himself Gate. And to be sure, we hear him, he says it twice. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in to find pasture. Then he said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the proper way, the right way, the only way into the sheepfold. Pasture, that is life through the door. Those who enter are being saved, that is being brought into pasture and life rather than being snatched up for destruction. Like good sheep, we value our place in the flock, sticking together, supporting each other in our journey towards Christ-likeness. It is possible to be a believer in isolation, but a true follower of Jesus requires participation in church, being an active member of the body of Christ. Jesus' flock, Jesus' sheep, flock together. We have to be a church. It is being together that we can sharpen one another. It is being together that we can help one another. Yes, we do get dirty. But when we do, we turn up to our shepherd to wash us clean. Through Christ's sacrifice of himself for our sins, we are cleansed of all unrighteousness. all our filth is washed away. We have only to accept his grace to enter into the abundant life he came to give us. Jesus came to give us the assurance of regaining our acceptance, security, and significance through the restoration of our relationship with him. We cannot completely experience abundant life until we share it. Over years, we have been saying in this church, sharing the love of Jesus. That is what we should be doing. We cannot completely experience that abundant life until we share it. This means engaging with those around us to discover what is robbing them of the life and standing with them against those forces. It means realizing that abundant life is not some after-death promise, but available right now to everyone who will enter by the true gate. And it is up to us to extend that invitation to any who have yet not heard it. It means realizing that abundant life starts when we repent of our sins, but continues as we live by sharing his love through grace. So, you want to know who I was? I was blind, but now I see. You want to know who I was? I was filled with demons, but he cast them out into the swine, and now I am free. I was dead, but he called me, Lazarus, come out. And I came out of the grave, and now I live. I was crippled, but he bid me to get up and carry my mat, and now I can walk. I was bleeding, but when I touched the hem of his clothes, I was made whole. What is your story? Somebody needs to hear it to encourage him. We all have a testimony to help somebody. Who better to advise somebody who is on drugs than a former drug addict who himself has been through that position? Who better to advise somebody who is going through a bitter divorce than somebody who had gone through it before? Who better to console somebody who is grieving than somebody who has been found grieving himself before? Jesus does not want to waste your experience. He wants you to use it to bring others to life.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.